1039 WDKX. Hey, it's your girl Jazzy T, and it is Kwanzaa, and we are here celebrating cultural expressions. And there is some amazing women joining me in the studio today from WXXI in association with the Little Theater. There is a wonderful, wonderful documentary that has been produced by Rhonda Austin, associate producer, Joanne Gordon, producer and senior editor, and Tiege Jenkins Routier. She is the director and also producer. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much.
When somebody asks you, and I know this has happened throughout the years, what is Kwanzaa and how do we celebrate it?
I would tell them that Kwanzaa is a 7-day cultural celebration that takes place the day after Christmas and lasts through January 1st. And it's a time where we celebrate our families, our community, and our African roots.
Yes. And I know there's seven principles, and like, do I have to have like candles and all of that stuff? Tell us about the investment that it might take for somebody, or is it something that we can just do in conversation?
Well, there are 7 candles, one for each day, and the number 7 is prominent throughout.
Well, what I would say is that, yes, you can put in an investment into buying all of those symbols and candles. You can, but you can also create them. And it's encouraged in Kwanzaa to have interaction with your family and especially children. Yeah. Children are of high importance for Kwanzaa. And so you can make some of these symbols. You can make some of these decorations. You can... You know, I can't sit here and give you a step-by-step, but there's different ways that you can put together your own Kwanzaa table and honor those
symbols.
And it's
a community event, bringing in the community, sharing knowledge and learning.
Are there community events that you know of scheduled here in the Rochester area for Kwanzaa?
Yes, and working through the Rochester Kwanzaa Coalition, they are a gem in our community, and they're such a great resource, and we connected with them throughout the documentary and also interviewed them in the documentary because they're just a great resource for information and getting you connected with Kwanzaa.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned family and getting the kids involved. A couple years ago, spent Christmas and the Christmas break in Michigan with my brother-in-law and his family. And he just sat us down and, you know, just asked us certain questions and different ways of thinking about stuff. Like, you know how Thanksgiving we say, well, what are you thankful for and things like that. Are there a couple of maybe questions to get people started on how we can incorporate our family in these discussions?
The daily schedule for Kwanzaa is to go through those principles. Each day has a guiding principle. And so you start with Habari Gani, which is what's the news? And your answer is the principle of that day. And that's a great way of starting the conversation about like the first day. This being the first day of Kwanzaa is Umoja, unity. So this is the day where we think of striving for unity within our family, culture, community, and race. And so that's a great... Like, that's a great thing to talk about with your family and with your friends, with your community. How are we striving for that?
Yeah. And the second principle is...
Kujichagulia.
Kujichagulia, and that is self-determination.
Now, if you want more information about Kwanzaa and how to celebrate, of course, we would encourage you to stay connected with WDKX.com and also with WXXI. I know that there are some great programming happening. Now, with the documentary, I know there's a screening happening. When will it actually air on television?
It's going to be airing from the 18th. Through the 31st. So there are a couple days in there and it's going to be all over the place. Okay. So I would say go online at WXXI.org and go to the television.
Okay. And radio.
Yeah, well, television and to see when those are going to air.
Okay.
But radio also is going to be doing some components as well. They have on Classical 91.5, they'll be every day they're going to feature a principal.
Oh, nice.
And then on AM 1370, they're going to be doing pieces that are going to be taken from the documentary, and they're going to be airing within morning edition and All Things Considered.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's so good that there's such great resources coming out of the WXXI studios for people to kind of follow along and really get involved with this. So again, WXXI.org, WDKX.com. If you want to get more information about events that are happening and ways that you can celebrate Kwanzaa with your family and with the community in general. I want to thank the ladies of WXXI Cultural Expressions Kwanzaa for coming by the studio today. And please, please follow along with us online and on the air. We are 103.9 WDKX. Now, now let's get into the nitty gritty. All right. And as we are preparing for this first screening of this Kwanzaa documentary, Cultural Expressions, I just want to understand how the whole concept came together, because Kwanzaa has been around for many years, but I feel like this is the first really deep dive in this form. So talk to me about, you know, how you were, did you have to pitch this to WXXI and how did it come together?
At the very beginning, what it was brought to our attention that Kwanzaa material does not exist. It's hard to find on PBS.
Right.
And so we
felt looking for something.
Right. So we felt like we should create something that we can use, that other stations can use, and other people can find that as a resource for information. Mm-hmm. And so we pitched it to the station that we wanted to produce this documentary and wrote up our plan, and they accepted it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Do you have plans outside of WXXI? Like, do you want to take this to film festivals or possibly pitch it to other public networks?
Definitely for other PBS stations nationally.
Well, it is going to be airing across New York State at various stations. Yeah. And it got picked up in Philly. So
it's going to be airing and in Philly. New Jersey.
In New Jersey, yes.
For this Kwanzaa season?
For this Kwanzaa season,
That's amazing.
Yes.
What are the steps like, and let's just, you know, go from a filmmaker's point of view around like budgeting and like what kind of team did you have to put together for a project like this?
So it was important that we as producers, we had to get together and collaborate with each other. So there's the pre-production that we put in the time to tell the stories, shape the stories, outline everything. And then we figure out how to or who we're going to interview. Yeah. We had to identify who are we going to interview for each one of these pieces. There are seven stories.
OK.
And that's a lot of time and that's a lot of time and research that goes into that. So a lot of it was the pre-production, us getting together and working through the details of the stories. And then we had to hire videographers on our team. And then now we're in the wrap of the project where we have audio and we have someone who oversees the entire editing and colorization of everything.
Yeah.
And so,
captioning.
Okay. Yeah. Captioning is a big thing.
Yes, it is.
For accessibility. So tell me a little bit about the stories that you selected.
So some of the stories, and each one is, that's what I want to say. First of all, each story is it's incredible. And it's a really deep look into that one principle. We figured out at the beginning of the project, we knew that we wanted to tell Kwanzaa in a very unique way. We didn't want to do a how to do Kwanzaa video type thing. We wanted people to really connect with each of these stories and each of those principles. So we got together and identified people that we felt exemplified each one of those principles. We interviewed Sean Dunwoody, who is known all around town for his art and his murals nationally. And we interviewed Dr. Sean Nelms from East High. Melanie Funches, I have to say, from Ubuntu Village and the mental health professional, self-proclaimed healer, was one of the most outstanding moments that I think we all collectively we've had in the documentary. Like, all of the stories are very incredible. They're very powerful. But her story in particular at the beginning of the doc, that will really captivate the audience. And it'll show that our documentary, it's I think that that's going to be a surprise for people to see that in a documentary about Kwanzaa, you know, what your expectations are, like, it's a party celebration. But there's so much depth to it. There really is.
With real people telling real stories.
And how they live those seven principles 365 days a year within their lives or within their businesses. Mm-hmm. They're using their business models and things like that. So.
Yeah, Sean Gnomes is a good friend of the station. What can you tell us about his story and how it relates to Kwanzaa?
First of all, he named his daughter Nia Imani, which means purpose, faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Those two of the principles of Kwanzaa. Yes. He just so connects with the principle that we identified him. Like, we didn't even know that, but we identified him to be the story about purpose. Nia. And he thought that was like, wow, I named my firstborn.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just, there's such, it connected.
And you know, he talked about his youth and growing up in Buffalo and, you know, how he's always had a sense of purpose in his family life as he grew older, job responsibilities and all that. He has that sense of purpose.
We also interviewed a lady from Seattle, a woman who is like, very Gullah Geechee proud, and the way her whole personality was just wow. It was like she was just exciting, just really fun. And she does a tap dance. She owns a tap dance studio that is a social justice conscious studio.
Oh, wow.
And it's for BIPOC children and BIPOC teachers to connect and express Blackness through tap dance and through all different art forms of
expression. Mm-hmm. And so with somebody who's out of state, did she come here or is this like a virtual sort of situation that we all become experts at thanks to the pandemic?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I directed it virtually. I directed it on the phone and through my cell phone.
Wow.
But we had a videographer on site who just so happened to have been traveling to Portland.
Oh.
At the same time that this was happening. He said, well, I have 2 days off. He's like, I can go to Seattle and interview. Her name is Ms. Melba. So he took that on for us.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's when you know you're doing something right. When, you know, God, the universe, just like, here's the path. You know, you want to go this way? I've laid it all out for you before you even asked for it. Mm-hmm. So I love when stuff like that happens. Mm-hmm. Going back to the screening, it seems like a really awesome experience that you guys have put together. So I know your producers and editors and directors, did you work with a separate like event planning team or I guess I want to dig a little deeper into the VIP part of it before the screening even happens. I was lucky enough to get one of the invitations. Thank you very much. And just explain to people how much fun stuff is happening even before the screening starts.
Well, fortunately, we work at WXXI, and we have a team pretty much behind us in various departments that are helping to kind of sort of bring our vision together of what we wanted the VIP reception to be about. Mm-hmm. And leading that up right now is Fantasia Hunt.
Fantasia Hunt. Mm-hmm.
She is helping us to coordinate everything, along with press stuff and graphics and everything. So if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be able to pull it all off.
Well, I know there's people that are listening to this podcast right now that haven't, you know, received their invitation yet. Is it invite only, or is this something that they can buy into?
It is invite.
The reception
only.
Is okay. Invite only, but the tickets are for sale. Yeah. The tickets for screening, the screening that starts at 7 p.m. That's open to the public.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Well, I do apologize for hyping that up, because if you didn't get the invite, follow me on Instagram and you can see what you missed. All right. So the screening itself, like you mentioned, starts at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what do you want people to walk away from the screening experience feeling? Like, how do you want us to feel afterwards?
You know, for those people who are attending, I would like to have people feel that sense of what Kwanzaa really is. You know, a lot of people have heard of Kwanzaa, but have never experienced.
Right.
So we're going to be taking some of those elements that you will see in the video and bringing them to life.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll have, you know, storytellers. We're going to have live drumming.
Yeah, that's the part I'm excited about. I love the drums.
Food.
Yeah. Well, that too.
We have,
So what kind of food, like when someone is thinking about Kwanzaa, like what kind of food comes to mind?
Cultural soul foods, food that comes from our roots, food from our community.
Are we talking just like greens and mac and cheese, or does it go a little deeper than that?
We definitely do a mac and cheese.
But it'll be something for everybody. We're covering everything. We have vegan food.
Okay.
And we have, it's going to be a good menu.
And it's also important to say that within your Kwanzaa meals, no pork.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I wanted to get to. You know, people will say that without much context. So why is that important to, you know, thinking about eliminating pork from your diet, especially at least for that week?
Well, not everybody eats pork.
Yeah.
And so just being a little bit mindful to those people.
There's a lot of Muslim people who celebrate and, you know, they stay away from pork. So try to be inclusive of everybody's.
Right.
So I think it's more spiritual-based and religious-based.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. In your own personal lives, and we'll start with Rhonda and then go around the room. When did you first experience Kwanzaa, and what was that experience like? Who introduced it to you?
I never experienced Kwanzaa growing up. My parents didn't really know, I think, about Kwanzaa. And so I didn't experience it till I came to Rochester, and I think I attended one service or one event.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I just didn't know much about it at that time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't.
And so about how many years ago was this?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Years.
Well, you notice I didn't say how old you were. I said how many years ago was that?
It's been a while. Okay. I've been in Rochester 37 years, so.
Okay.
I would say the early 80s after late 80s after I got up here.
Okay.
Early 90s is when I attended. I haven't been to any events since then. However, I've learned a lot in doing this documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that I know and what the principles are and how I have incorporated some of those principles into my life. I didn't know what they were, but like most African Americans, we already have been practicing those principles in our lives. And to put a name to it, now I know.
So now that you've learned so much in your research and putting together this documentary, is there something that you're going to do with your family this year? Introduce it to a new generation?
Well, my daughter is going to be coming to the screening on next week, and it's going to be a new thing for her, and she's 22.
Yeah.
She's interested in learning about it. So instead of me sitting her down, I'd rather she see
and experience it. Yeah.
The doc.
Okay, Tisha, I'm excited to hear your story when you first experienced Kwanzaa.
And I don't mind revealing my age. It was 30 years ago when I first experienced it, and it was at an event downtown. I went with a friend of mine. She introduced me to Kwanzaa. And so the following year, I introduced it on the final day of Kwanzaa, which is January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I introduced it to my family and some friends. And so I threw a big meal and just had people come over and had the African print, and it was all African inspired. And so we celebrated and just recognized each of those principles. I did a thing around the table just to talk about the principles and just share that experience. But I haven't since.
Okay. And why not?
I just don't think about it. I hadn't thought about it. And now, like Rhonda said, after working on this documentary and after doing all of the research and after connecting, like actually finding a connection to it, and through the people at the Rochester Kwanzaa Coalition, being connected with them inspires me to want to celebrate it more. And I will be celebrating. I'm having a Kwanzaa table this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine that the Kwanzaa Coalition's mission is to introduce and then also inspire people to carry on that tradition as well.
Yes.
Especially for people that, you know, let's face it, people are leaving New York left and right. But, you know, it sounds like Rochester has been good at least exposing people, but we want to be able to empower them to take that with them, you know, even if they do leave the city and maybe they end up somewhere where there's not a lot of events and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome.
And the next generation, it's very important, I think, for kids to have something to connect to, because there's so many people right now who are out here that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know anything about their culture. So
Right, right. And I've seen a lot of that, especially the last 2 years with Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Juneteenth. Yeah. We have the day off. What do we do? Yeah. What does that mean? Like, right. I don't know. Yeah. Do I not celebrate July 4th now? Right. Do I do both? Like, I found myself in a very weird dynamic, especially in 2020, right. because we were going through George Floyd and everybody you know, feeling some type of way. And so I know that July 4th, I mean, the fact that a lot of things were shut down helped, but it was kind of like, I don't want to celebrate July 4th anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And so we did what we would normally do on July 4th on June 19th instead. Mm-hmm. And that was just kind of how my family, you know, dealt with it. But I'm finding that Black people specifically are more interested, and I attribute this to the youth and also to the internet and, you know, social media, but they are interested in finding roots and doing things differently. And, you know, even with Columbus Day, there's so many people that are like, I'm not celebrating that, but I will celebrate, you know, Indigenous People's Day and try to do something along that lines to just, you know, celebrate the culture that my father is 100% Native American. And so just to, you know, get into that a little bit more, you know. And so, Joanne, can you tell us about your Kwanzaa experience?
Sure. I grew up in Buffalo. And so Kwanzaa is really big in Buffalo. So I never celebrated all 7 days. I knew about Kwanzaa and I would go to activities here and there over the years. And when I moved here, I was very close to a family who celebrated every year. And I would go to their Kwanzaa celebrations.
Okay.
And they would celebrate as a family and do different things. Working on this project and talking to Dr. Anderson, talking to Terry Shaka and Dolores Jackson Radney, they are a wealth of information. So in talking to them, I was like, okay, you know, last year, I was like, I want to go to one of the days of celebration. And I went and I was like, oh, wow, this is where I want to be. And I really wish that over the years I had spent more time and energy getting to know what Kwanzaa was all about. Because, I mean, it's a fairly new cultural experience. It was, you know, it was formed in 1966. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I was already, well, I won't say, but, you know, I was older. So, you know, it was fairly new as I was growing up. And, you know, some people were getting into it, but I knew that it was pretty popular in Buffalo. And like I said, I would just go to a celebration here and there. Mm-hmm. But now, after, you know, learning much more about it, I hope to become more active.
And let me just add, some people have, our own Black people, I think sometimes are a little confused because they correlate it with Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they think it's a Christmas holiday and you have to pick one over the other, and that's not the case.
And that's such an important point to make, is that this is not a cancellation of Christmas. It's not an alternative to Christmas. You can celebrate it and any other holiday or any other type of a thing that's part of your roots to celebrate or part of your family's culture. And, you can celebrate it. You don't cancel out.
And some churches celebrate. You know, I know we do at my church. Mm-hmm. You know, we celebrate Kwanzaa. So, you know, it's very important for people to know that it is a cultural holiday rather than, and it's not just, you know, a one-day holiday. It spans those 7 days. And the interesting thing is, you know, it's after Christmas. The kids are out of school usually for those 7 days. And so that gives opportunity for people to, you know, go to the different venues that Kwanzaa is being offered.
And spend time with your kids and your families.
Because that's at the heart and soul of Kwanzaa, is that it's that unity, that uniting with your family and building your family and strengthening your family and having this interaction with them. So it's
and even down to the gifts, because they encourage you to do homemade gifts or heirlooms, family heirlooms, passing those down and explaining to the children, you know, what these things mean to the family. You know, ancestry is a real huge part of it as well.
And it was, I'm glad that you brought up that the kids are actually out of school for this, because that was going to be one of my other questions. Just living in Brighton, having my kids go to Brighton, we have all of the Jewish holidays off. There's, you know, talk within the school about Hanukkah and different things. Do you, in your research and talking to different people in preparation for this documentary, is there any talk or push to incorporate Kwanzaa in the learnings, at least even in the city schools?
I don't think there's been any talk because kids are already out of school for that week. But
I think it's introduced to certain kids, you know, and certain, I guess it depends on the teacher.
Right.
I don't know that there's a strict curriculum that, you know, each of the schools follow.
My sister is a preschool teacher and they're not allowed to teach. Talk about Christmas, talk about any other religious holidays. That's all been stripped away. However, sometimes she does kind of slide things in because she feels like kids need to know those certain
things. But Kwanzaa isn't a religious holiday.
No, it is.
So I would be able to argue that this is a cultural celebration, just like St. Patrick's Day. Let's use that for example here in Rochester and also in Buffalo. Huge celebration. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's Irish for that week. Yeah. Not even just the day. You know, we're all encouraged to show up to work in green and all of that. So, I mean, I don't see why not, especially in predominantly Black school districts, for us to be able to promote that, you know, even, you know, when you come back, like, you know, if you're coming back fresh off of Kwanzaa, like, you know, tell me about your celebration. You know, what are some of the principles? I mean, why not?
I don't see why not either. But I think what's happening is that schools or administrators are stripping away everything. I find it hard. That's why it's even more important for families to sort of kind of compensate and teach those things.
I mean, even look at Halloween, right?
Oh, gosh.
No, I mean, there's a whole Halloween parade.
Yeah.
Everybody's encouraged to come in costume and then, you know, literally parade around. And, you know, you could argue there's some evilness to that. I mean, so if we're stripping away the religious and the spiritual stuff, but we're welcoming in ghouls and goblins and monsters and witches.
And then you wonder why things are the way they are.
It's opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
And I mean, this is just like a general conversation. I mean, this happens across. It's not just a Rochester. This is across America where, you know, Halloween is such a huge, huge thing. And then, you know, even Christmas, the commercialization of Christmas. You know, go sit on some old guy's lap, you know, like,
you gotta remember the reason for the season.
Exactly.
Right.
But I think that's a good question. That should be something that should be asked to the Rochester City School District, or, you know, why isn't it that they're not focused on that part? But then that leads to getting into why isn't Black history more pushed in the schools, in the city schools? They have a department, but they don't.
Right. Well, I think that this is a great way to open up that conversation. So let's go back to the screening and then we'll wrap up here. So December 16th at the Little, 7 o'clock, is the Cultural Expressions Kwanzaa movie screening. And is there a conversation that happens after the film?
Yes, there'll be a panel discussion with Teej. Moderator is Mona Eisler, Dolores Jackson Radney, and Terry Shaka.
And they're from the Rochester Kwanzaa Coalition. Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Terry and Dolores.
So maybe this is something that could be brought up. Like, how do we, you know, and if people, you know, like Sean Nelms or people who work within the city school district, you know, if they're able to engage in this conversation, I mean, this could be a good start.
Maybe we're a good start. Yes.
Maybe we're onto something
maybe
here.
Maybe parents, you know, then after they learn a little bit more about it, then they can go back to the school and say, we want this.
Right. That's so true.
Be taught in school.
Awesome.
And let me just add, tickets can be purchased at thelittle.org and look for Cultural Expressions Kwanzaa.
Yes.
It's going to be part of the Black Cinema series.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, so, so much for coming by. It's been absolutely a pleasure to learn a little bit more about Kwanzaa. And thank you for taking the initiative to put this documentary together.
And thank you so much for having us on
and supporting the doc.
Yes,
that means a lot.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It is our pleasure. And again, you are listening to the WDKX podcast. Please be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast with your friends, family, and others. And check out WXXI.org for the continual support of the Kwanzaa celebration and the holiday season, and see how you can get involved and talk to your school administrators and your kids' teachers and ask them, you know, how and why and what you could even do to come in and teach to the other kids. Because I think it's important that, you know, it has to be a demand situation. It has to be like, we want this. Because I think, as we talked about before, it does get kind of looped into Christmas. We don't want to act like we're replacing Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's not a religious holiday. Mm-hmm. It's a cultural celebration. So why not? We're doing Halloween. Come on. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. My name is Jazzy T on 103.9 WDKX.